Welcome to the Job Interview Experience. I am a former executive recruiter, search firm owner, director of talent acquisition, and today the founder of Candidate Club and your host of the Job Interview Experience. We've been lucky, and by we, I mean you, the listener, and me. We've been lucky to have fantastic guests on the Job Interview Experience, high-level professionals, with all of this awesome interview and career insight. With our guests today, I'm excited to go in a little bit different direction. They're still high-level professionals, don't worry. But we're going to take some focus off of your next interview and step back and focus on you, taking control of your career and investing in yourself. I really like the unusual approach our guests have. You'll hear people talk about, you know, paying off debt, being fiscally responsible, which is great. But what about investing in yourself, taking steps to make some bets on the number one person that I believe can impact your life, and that's you. Joining us today is Brian DeWurst and Philip Ramsey. Together, they run Uncommon Wealth Partners. They host the Uncommon Life Project podcast and authored the book, Uncommon Wealth, You Are Your Best Asset. Invest in yourself. I'm excited for these two to open our eyes to the big picture of self-empowerment. Brian and Philip, welcome to the Job Interview Experience.
Nice. Thanks for the introduction.
Thank you.
It's exciting. I'm ready to go.
That was really official. I'm leaning in.
Before we dig into the good stuff, we want to learn a little bit about you two outside of work. You know, make sure that you aren't totally crazy. So when you're not working, how do you spend that precious free time?
That's a great question and a great place to start. So I'm married to the love of my life. I've been married for 13 years. We have three children of our own, and we're just starting to get into the whole extracurriculars in our family. So running from place to place and trying to make sure everyone's on time, and then coaching my son's third grade flag football. It's like herding cheetahs. But yeah, so family, trying to juggle it all and run a business, and really active in my church as well. And so those are the ways I usually spend my time.
Yeah, similar here. Married, second marriage. So we are actually coming up on our third year anniversary. I have three kids from my previous marriage, and extracurriculars heavy as well. And we bought a dog during COVID, so we made it worse. But yeah, family time, sports activities, staying active, and traveling when we can.
Brian, I like how you use the word bought a dog. Some people try and really fluff it up. Like, you know, we rescued this helpless being from, you know, that ascended from heaven. And no, you can go out and buy a dog. I like that.
Yep.
What do you two do, and how is it so different than other, I don't know if the term would be wealth partners or organizations that are kind of in the similar industry as yours?
Yeah. You know, I should just say that I was in pharmaceuticals, and what I learned in pharmaceuticals is a big company was educating me on how to go talk to the doctors to make the bigger company more money. And when I went to go talk to doctors, they had a different perspective. And I quickly realized there's always different perspectives depending on if you follow the money. And after I got out of pharmaceuticals, I thought, what other industry do I feel like is kind of similar in that people are getting educated by a bigger company and then going out to try to collect money from other people? And I thought, financial services. I have never talked to somebody who actually has been helping me and my family make more money. And so we started Uncommon Wealth Partners. And what we decided to do is like just sit down with people and try to unlock what their unique gifting is and what they're passionate about. And how can we maybe use the assets that they've acquired to help them pursue that passion? And what we found is a lot of people resonate with that philosophy, and they get excited about their future and what they're doing and how they're doing it. And it just takes the whole pressure off of this big account balance at the end of the rainbow while they hate their life at Cubicle of Doom. And they try to amass all this wealth, and hopefully at one point, it'll be enough money for them to retire in the sunset, where we believe, one, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. And so what can we do today to try to figure out how to get you into that sweet spot where you're loving your life every day? And when you start that and you actually wake up in the morning and get to pursue that dream, when would you want to stop doing that? And the answer is never. And so that's kind of a nutshell, the elevator speech. But I'd love to hear from Brian, because Brian has a totally different perspective. We have two different personalities, which makes Commonwealth Partners, I think, fun and unique.
Yeah. So, I mean, we definitely do what other financial advisors do. I mean, we help people invest. You know, we give financial advice. We're fiduciaries. We own our own registered investment advisory firm. So we're doing a lot of the traditional, is kind of how we say it, or legacy type things that other advisors are doing. But most of our passion content, a lot of our best relationships are with clients that are like, I've got a lot of that, or I want to start something. You know, we kind of call it like Jumanji beat inside of you. There's this thing that I can't put down. I can't stop thinking about. I want to do it. Everybody around me thinks I'm crazy, but I'm basically going to regret it if I don't try this. And so we try to just help them, you know, like we're their co-pilot. We try to help them organize their capital, their thoughts, and actually do that thing that they can't stop thinking about doing, whether that's, you know, a side hustle or, you know, starting like multifamily rental properties or single family homes or starting an Airbnb. You know, the average family in America would, you know, the statistics say would benefit a ton from an extra $500 a month. And now I think there's more time than ever. There's so many different ways you can make that money. But like Philip said, you know, making sure that it's aligned with the way you're passionate, you've been gifted in. So then it's sustainable, you know? So we just kind of help people dive into those types of things. And then how does that fit a part of a financial plan, you know? And then how do you get husband and wives together so that one spouse can take a risk, the other one doesn't feel like they're taking a step backwards, you know, financially. And so those are kind of the issues and things that we try to help solve.
Before we dig a little bit more into that, if you can put yourself in our listener's shoes, how does your message today, what you're sharing, what you do, how does that impact a job seeker?
Oh, gosh, great question. One, because I feel like sometimes in job seeking, there's a despair or there's a frustration. And what I would say, many of our clients started where your listeners are. And it's this realization of, wait, maybe if I invest in myself, this could be the best thing that could have possibly happened to me, is I got laid off or I had to quit my job. And you know, the lay of the land of that. I mean, it gets muddy pretty quick. And so a lot of our stories, our uncommon paths and our clients started from where your clients are currently and your listeners. And so just to be super encouraged, because after this whole chapter is written, I think you're going to look back at this time and see that this could be one of the best opportunities that you have to impact not only yourself, but other people. And so I would say our philosophy is right where your listeners are and starting something where you just need to be encouraged to maybe take that leap of faith and bet on yourself, because you know yourself better than anybody else. You don't need to manage anybody. You don't have any extra, like, you know you. And then to be able to pursue something that you're passionate about, if it's impacting others, we see great success with our clients. So,
and I think too, you know, I was in that boat trying to find a job and I was kind of disgruntled in a position, and a mentor of mine, you know, came alongside me and he just said, you know what, Brian, you've had a ton of different jobs. You just need to start your own business. Mm-hmm. You know, I see it in you, the way you speak, the way you carry yourself. You know, another job's not going to change that. You need to kind of go out and take the plunge and, you know, put yourself out there and try this and see if you can make it work. And if that doesn't work, yeah, then you can go find another job. But if it works, you know, you're going to change your life and change the course of your life and your family. And, you know, I did that. I kind of started out and I was just like, I got to figure this out and haven't looked back. It's not been the smoothest ride for the last 10 years, but I certainly wouldn't trade it for anything either. And so that was really sage advice that I got from a close mentor who also was a business owner, entrepreneur. And that was kind of the catalyst I needed of like, yeah, I don't need another job. Maybe it's time to forge out on my own. So
when our paths first cross, what you two do, it's the first time I've heard anyone doing it, but it instantly clicked for me. Why isn't your philosophy shared more? Like, why isn't this idea out there and more common?
Yeah, Great question. Because it's hard to make money helping other people invest in themselves. Because a lot of times what you'll hear, and I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard this, is like, set and forget it. You know, set that account up, give it to me, give me all your extra free cash flow. I'll give it back to you when you're 65. It's going to be amazing. But in the meantime, don't think about it, you know, because they're collecting fees off of that money. And so the whole set it and forget it is couldn't be further from what Brian and I truly want to do. We might even cash out a retirement account for you to be able to start investing in something you're passionate about. And in that, we might not get paid much at all. And so we really had to change our business approach and our business model to go to more of a planning fee type of structure where, you know, we charge our planning fee and then we can set you up for maybe a plan to help you invest in yourself and KO that retirement account so you can invest in the right ways that we all kind of deemed appropriate. But I think a lot of people just don't do this. Maybe one, they haven't been taught this way. I don't think a lot of big businesses are teaching agents and reps to be able to talk to people like this. And then two, it's you have to get paid a little different. And both of those things, we've overcome both of those obstacles. And so I think that's probably one of the reasons why people don't do it that way. Brian, what would you say?
I think it's also systemic. I mean, I think our educational system is set up to create, you know, job seekers. And I'm not, you know, disparaging that. I mean, I went to college and came out and, you know, you're looking for a job. And so I think our system is kind of set up, you know, to this not be the talk track. And then, you know, when you look at it, the guy next door or the guy down the street that owns 6 8-plexes and is a multimillionaire, you know, but you can't tell that he's not out starting a business trying to show 10 other people how to do that. A lot of those people are pretty, you know, closed off in the sense that they're not opening a shingle. Hey, let me show you how to become a millionaire. They might mentor one or two people, but that's probably about it. So there's just not a lot of stuff out there to help people start businesses and pursue their passions. And so we've really tried to stake that flag in the ground for our business in this space and, you know, sound the trumpet, so to speak.
I think maybe there are more people talking about how to pursue your passions, but what they don't do is actually then create a plan that is customizable, right? It's right. Like this big philosophy. It's great. Go do it. Robert Kiyosaki, I think, does a really good job casting vision. Tony Robbins does a really good job of encouraging. Dave Ramsey does a really good job of budgeting. But like, who helps you actually implement the plan that's customizable to your passion? That's where I think this is the blue ocean. So anyway, sorry.
Who do you think should be thinking about making changes to how they view their time and opportunities to do something, I'd say, different or more with their life?
I think everybody. I mean, if you know, what we kind of try to help people understand is if you put money in a 401k, you're trying to buy the last day of your life because you're kind of like working backwards, right? You got to get a balance built up that's big enough that you can, you know, walk away from work and it's going to carry you until your death. So you're kind of buying the last day of your life. When you really think about, you know, we're not huge on the term residual income or passive income because there's really nothing, you know, real income doesn't come from passive things, but passion is a different maybe way to say it. You know, if you want passion income, stuff that's going to pay you residually, you know, starting next month, well, that's cash flow now. You know, we're trying to help people buy the next day of their life, not the last day of their life. And so when you look at retirement, kind of remember in Indiana Jones where he has to step off, you know, and have the faith that the invisible bridge is there. If you think about it, if you never have any residual income and you just work a job and then you go until retirement, you really are going like you're kind of stepping out on that bridge like it's invisible because you have you've never generated revenue for yourself. You've never generated monthly cash flow for yourself. You're starting from zero when you retire. You know, like if you need 10 grand a month and you've never made a dime for yourself outside of just having a job, that's a big chasm to cross. You know, you better have a big 401k or some big assets built up to when you do that because you've never generated that type of money before. conversely, you know, somebody who starts to generate $400 or $500 a month by having a, you know, multifamily or single family home that they bought down the street that they rent out, and they're making an extra $500 a month. You know, now they've got kind of the practice in place to retire. And so stepping into it, our feeling is the easier it's going to be and the faster that it'll be if you start practicing these tactics and techniques now, as opposed to waiting until you're retired.
Yeah, for sure. I'd say everybody and anybody, you know, anybody who's ever thought an idea or like, I love, this is interesting. I don't know if our philosophy really resonates with high school kids. Like, you're your best asset. Go pursue what you're passionate about. Why? Because they're already doing that. Like, in their head, that's what they're going to do, right? And then, but when it does start resonating is when you've almost forgotten completely about your high school years. You've been beaten down by corporate America or whatever, or just life. And now it's like, wait, maybe I am my best asset. And I remember maybe 3 years ago doing this and talking to people and just our philosophy. And I remember thinking, or at least knowing, people were perceiving us as like, there's no way that I'm my best asset. I have Principal Financial Group behind me. I have John Deere behind me. I have this big company that is steady Eddie, and this is the safe play. Now, what they're realizing is, oh my goodness, like, actually, you guys are in the way safer bet, because Principal Financial Group only looks at me as a number, or John Deere is like, now we're going to pick at the fence. Like, there's just a lot of things that are unknown. And so our philosophy is super powerful for people that have finally realized that maybe I am my best asset. And maybe if I was pursuing stuff, because normally what we like to ask people is like, hey, if money were no object, what would you do tomorrow? And what we find is they actually work, and they work hard. But it doesn't feel like work to them. It feels like work to me, because I'm just not wired the way they are. And so we've heard everything and anything, like, maybe not everything, but we heard like somebody who wants to invest in heifers, like cows. And like, Brian and I should not be investing in heifers, but our job was to create a plan to have this individual and his family invest in heifers. And so, man, you should have seen him talk. And what I love is when you can get somebody kind of tapped into that passion. I mean, they talk and they talk and they talk. And at the end, usually it's a while. I usually ask them, like, how long have I been talking? And they've been like, I don't know, 10 minutes. No, it's been 45, because you're actually excited about what you're talking about. And so I think that's just a little bit of a light bulb for people realizing that, wow, and you're going to help me achieve this. And that's what we do.
There are some listeners right now that are kind of having a light bulb moment, and this is clicking with, I'm sure. Some, obviously some, this, it's not the right time to start thinking about this, which is fine. But that said, Philip and Brian, we're going to do this. Like, we're not at the end of the podcast. We're going to talk about this again at the end. But just for the listeners who are getting excited about this and thinking about digging into this concept more, Phil and Brian actually have a podcast. So you guys want to plug that really quick at like our halfway point here?
Yeah, that's it's a great segue too, because like the Uncommon Life Project is us interviewing individuals that are loving their life every day. And I love one of us. We're interviewing Nadine Habaker. She's 72 years old, and she's a paintbrush, or a, what is it? A watercolor painter. It's great. And I was like, Nadine, how do you get paid to paint? She's like, oh, she's like, I don't. She's like, I just love to paint, and people keep paying me. Like, I just love that response. And so what we try to do, we try to interview people who are just waking up and enjoying their life every day, because they're pursuing what they're excited about and they're impacting others. So that's kind of the core. And then we also give, Brian and I will give tips and tricks for you to go down this uncommon path for themselves, for the listeners, and try to, you know, hey, this is something we've been learning, or this is something we've been seeing a lot, and hopefully try to help them advance the ball in that area.
For a listener that is going to check out the podcast, likes what they hear right now, how do people get started? Like, what's the first step to making this change and shifting away from just looking at, you know, the 401k and the 9-to-5 for the rest of their lives?
Yeah, I mean, the first step is to know your budget or know your nut. What do you need a month to survive, you know, and pay your bills and get by? If you don't know what it takes a month to make everything work, then a lot of people stay in that la la land of, well, I want to do this, but you know, I have this excuse over here that I'm not going to do it. You know, when you really start to quantify things and you put numbers, you know, numbers just don't lie. You know, if you need $6,000 a month, you need $6,000 a month. Well, you know, until, from what we've seen, a lot of people, until they go through that point, they don't get enough gumption to actually take action. So you have to put pen to paper. What are the expenses that need to be covered? Do, you know, can I shift some of those expenses or turn some of that stuff off? And what do I actually need to come in? And then how are we going to go get that money? You know, how am I going to generate $4,000, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000 a month? You know, and how long is that going to take to get that money to come in from what I'm proposing to do? So that to me is always step one of you've got to know your numbers.
Let's dig into some real life examples. You talked about the watercolor painter. What are some other interesting case studies that you guys have done?
Oh man, I'll just one. This is a podcast, so I don't want to shortcut it, but I'll just start with it. It's Ian and Christina Nelson Johnson, and I met him through a crazy series of events. But he came to us and he was like, "Philip, will you help my wife and I with our finances?" And you could tell there was some shame and guilt associated with finances. So Brian and I sat down with him and his wife, and we just talk. Like, one, I just want to hear what your passions are, what you're excited about, what you're pursuing, what your goals are. And he was like, "Hey, in 10 years, we'd like to own a house, have a child, and then maybe start a business." He was a psychologist. I don't know, one of those. You know, I get those mixed up. But he was like, "Listen," I was like, "Well, what's stopping you? Like, 10 years is a long time." And he's like, "We have so much student loan debt, both Christina and I." And that's where the shame and guilt was. And so he's like, "So we don't really even know, but the best thing we've done so far in our life is we have a Roth 401k for $11,000. And he was like, that was hope filled for him. You know, like, "We did it. You know, Philip, you're going to be so proud of us." And I think Brian, he was like, "Okay, we'll take you as a client, but you have to cash that out." And he was like, "I'm sorry, what?" And what we did with that money is we started pursuing his own psychologist business where he would own. And in a very short time, that $11,000, we kind of created a plan. So him and his wife were unified. But it was generating $1,000 a week. And I'm telling you, like, within 3 months, like, something very short. And you could see the wheels, like, getting excited, because what would you rather have? $11,000 with a Roth, which you can't really touch, or $1,000 a week? Now, of course, everyone's going to say $1,000 a week. There's a risk associated with that. And so we had to make sure that both him and his wife were okay with the risks. But what we did to help them with that was to show him, hey, $11,000 growing at 7% until you're retired is not going to be any help to you. And so you can keep on this 10-year track record and keep doing it the traditional way, or you can start going the uncommon pathway. And man, to watch their excitement level of life. Anyway, within, I think, 18 months, he's quit his job. He's started his full-time business. He's making 3 or 4 times more than what he was making at his old job. And I'd ask him, like, "Hey, what's your student loan debt?" And he was like, "Who cares? I'm generating cash flow from multiple people now. I'm running my own business and loving what I do every day." Now, the backstory of this, and I love this story, because they still are keeping their debt in focus. And every time they pay off $1,000 worth of debt, they put this, I think it's a leaf on this tree that they have over their bed. And this tree is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But it's not the sole focus. It's a beautiful piece of artwork. They are working both unified to create his business, and it's thriving. And we started it with $11,000. And like, that was one of my favorite stories. I love talking about it. They're thriving. Anyway, Brian, do you have one?
No, I mean, that one was the one I was going to share. I mean, we have other people too, that I think is a little less dramatic, but The couple we just had on our podcast, they started before meeting us, but the story is always kind of the same. You know, hated corporate America, just couldn't take it anymore. All the reorganizations, and we're going to reorg again and fire people, but now we got to hire people back because we're growing. It's just, you know, the kind of the downside of corporate America, I would say. They got disenfranchised, figured out their numbers, and figured out how to buy their first Aplex. And now they're almost, I think, to six of them. And he was able to fully quit his job. She'd kind of worked, you know, managed the home and homeschooled the kids. But now they do real estate full time together as a family. And they figured out their numbers, and they found a niche that they've carved out kind of in central Iowa with multifamily projects, and totally retired themselves basically from corporate America. So that was kind of more of a, that's kind of less of like starting a business, so to speak, but maybe utilizing real estate as a way to punch out. So,
right. I like that. Cause you know, Brian talked about phase one of like, know your expenses, like know your monthly expenses you need to cover. The second phase we would say is like, you got to have a safety net. Like you got to have, we call it a capital fund. My uncle, Dave Ramsey, which isn't really my uncle, he says emergency fund. And then to us, it's then what are you going to invest in? And this particular example, they figured out like real estate, and they weren't truly like super passionate about it. It was just like, hey, let's figure out the number that we need to cover our monthly expenses. So then we have a trajectory and a goal that we need to go pursue. And once we get those numbers or get half there, then we know we have enough money to be able for you to quit your job, and then we can go full time. And so that's what I love about this whole uncommon path is everyone can start. You know, somebody's risk tolerance might be like, I need to quit my job tomorrow. And my wife and I, or my spouse and I, or whatever, they are unified on that. And there might be somebody else who's like, listen, our risk tolerance is not there. We want to start something tomorrow, but we definitely know that we have to both keep our jobs until this, and this happen. And we're both unified. And then one of us can quit our jobs. And then once this happens, then we both can quit our jobs. So there's different risk tolerance that I really like, because normally risk tolerance is only associated with like an account that you have for money. And it's way different than that, especially when you're thinking about yourself. So.
I have a buddy that's excellent in construction, like more of a craftsman, right? So remodels, building really great looking things in existing homes, and was doing pretty well, younger, in his 20s. And he wanted to switch to residential real estate, which he did. And I don't give career advice to people unless they ask, but I said, I've known a lot of people who've done real estate, and it's, you know, you should pursue your passion. But I know a lot of very wealthy people that have owned construction companies. And my idea there was to encourage him. He said, basically, I don't want to do this labor my whole life, which I totally get. I agree with. Don't beat yourself up. Don't be sore every day. But there's probably just a couple really small things that he could have done. Hire a person or two, which I know is easier said than done. Or select a certain type of work where, nothing wrong with residential real estate. It's fun, right? Selling houses. But I've seen people go down that path. I'm sure you have too. And having like this already built, being a trusted construction worker or construction guy with his own small business where people trust him, they like having him in their house. The opportunities that were there, I think, are so much bigger than going to work for one of these real estate companies, which everyone has their own. You have to do what you want, right? It's not what my advice is to him. But seeing that, I think it's probably aligned with what you guys do. Just these couple little things that probably could have been set up that would have reduced the amount of hours that he has to work physical labor and increased his income probably 5 to 10-fold.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And really understanding, like, how much am I really making my bigger company? Like, if you ever think about that, like, it's kind of scary, really. Now, they're taking risk on. So here that there's a risk reward there. But sometimes a lot of people are just like, wow, if I think about how much money I generated for my bigger company, like, it almost makes me want to puke. So people are valuable. people have great experiences and they really do have a unique gifting that they can go and impact the world with, and they can go serve other people, and it's powerful.
What do you guys talk about in your book?
The book, The Uncommon Wealth book.
We've read it so many times, I think I've tried to purge it from my mind, but the love hate of launching the book. No, I mean, the first part is it lays out the problem of just kind of traditional financial planning and just the challenges that, you know, especially the, I'd say like the 18 to 35 year old crowd is experiencing are, you know, a lot different than what our parents are experienced in corporate America. And just the overall macroeconomic environment, the pressure on young people financially is going to be so much greater than previous generations. And so kind of the book lays that out and then kind of talks about the four-step process, knowing your numbers, building a capital fund, you know, and then really I think what makes us unique is, you know, we don't pigeonhole like, oh, everybody has to do real estate. We had a client who was like, oh, you know, we met for the first time. They're like, oh, now I bet you want us to go buy a rental property. And it's like, actually, you don't seem gifted at all or interested in that in any way, shape or form. So actually, I wouldn't recommend you to do that.
Do you look at people's hands? He's like, you know, you're not cut out for this.
You're a little dainty on the hands. Maybe not. You know, then it's a matter of helping them. What are they going to scale? You know, like the couple we mentioned was, you know, eightplexes in rural communities was one example. And so, yeah, trying to help people zone in on their gifting and passion. And then kind of like your construction guy, you know, of like, how do you monetize the construction deal? So you start to get residual income and you get some economies of scale to what you're doing. You know, not only building a crew, but, you know, maybe you do start taking on, you know, your own projects and you start building in rental properties or Airbnbs. We've had a lot of people and a lot of success with Airbnb, even amidst COVID. It's actually a tremendous amount of cash flow when you really start to dig into it. Just trying to help people get that foundation built, know your numbers, put capital together, and then scale it.
Yeah, I love this too, because we kind of say phase four is like, you know, time freedom. And that usually is like what people need to really encourage them to get and to start down this path. But when you do it right and you actually love what you do in phase three, the investing phase, you get done with phase three and you move into phase four, the time freedom phase, and you're like, I think I can do it better. Like, I actually love this part of it. I hated this part of it. So who can we go hire to go do the parts that maybe you don't like and how they're gifted and they like to do that? And then you go back and you're like, I think I can do it better. So there's really never this time freedom where you can like just sit back on the beach and do nothing. Now, granted, yes, you could do that, but you love what you did every day. So you go back and kind of like, I can tweak it. I can do better. I can go hire some more people. I can impact people. I can do things different. And so that to me is the best when we've done the best thing for an individual where they're so excited that even if they do make truckloads of money, it's like, even if I win the lottery, I'm going back and doing what I love to do anyway. So that to me is a true level of success when they're doing things and impacting others in such a way that they never really want to stop doing it. And it's not about the money.
Is there a halfway point for listeners between sticking to the normal job setup, maybe because right now they have to, and trying to do something bigger?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's kind of why we wrote the book the way we did. It's just, hey, then understand what your monthly expenses are. What do you need to come in to cover your monthly expenses? And then once you have that, then start the emergency fund or capital fund. Start saving money, because we know that when you jump into the investing phase, sometimes you just need a longer runway. And that the way that you could achieve that is by having a pretty nice savings account. But you can do this in the comfort of your own home and with the comfort of a job, of a consistent paying job. And so there absolutely is a halfway point. And that is just finally start dreaming like there is no money involved. And once you figure out that thing that you get so excited about, go back and figure out what the money is. And then how much you would actually need, how many clients would you need to serve in that passion? and then start working backwards and see what you can do tomorrow to go after that first client. So yeah, there's totally a halfway point.
We are running short on time here. There's so much more we could dig into, and we should do this again. But what we've done today, I think you've lit a fire for some of our listeners, got some wheels spinning and some ideas going that weren't in their heads before about what they can do for themselves to say, improve their life or change their life. What's your message to our listeners who are thinking big beyond the normal trajectory of the kind of status quo career?
Yeah. I would say, one, you don't need uncommon wealth partners. Hear that. We would love to walk beside you, but you don't need us. I would say, go get a mentor that sees more potential in you than you see in yourself and is willing to prove it to you and are going to help you overcome obstacles, going to hold you accountable, going to help you go down this path that you're excited about, and make sure that they've already done that. Like, don't go talk to somebody who has an amazing real estate portfolio if you're not going to go down the real estate portfolio path. So make sure that they're in the same line of work that you're in. But go seek out a mentor and watch how excited they are to pour into you and help you create a plan for you to achieve it. So that's what I would say. That would be my message. Ryan, what's yours?
Mine would just say, would be, this is the best time ever to do something on your own. There's so much money sloshing around out there for ideas, startups. There's so much, it's so much easier to raise money to put business ideas together right now with the things that have been created. There's websites like WeFunder, StartEngine, there's tons of them. What's happening in crypto with Bitcoin and the technological advancements in fintech. I think right now is the best time, obviously with social media and the ability to tell your story. And then there's just so many people displaced in the work environment, which you're obviously helping with and addressing. But now is the best time, to start. I think that there's ever been, and you know, take charge, seize the day. And yeah, we're big cheerleaders. We want to help you in any way we can. Let us know, reach out. And yeah, we need more people to start businesses and companies. I think there's a statistic like in 1900, it was like 90% of the country was self-employed or business owner. Mm-hmm. And now I think it's like 8%. Mm-hmm. So we need people to start companies and start new things and to hire people and create jobs and create new products. And especially with the supply chain issues now, I think it domestically in the United States, your ability to serve a market and to, you know, have pricing power and the ability to get your product to clients is a massive competitive advantage right now because of all the supply chain issues we're experiencing in this country too. So I think the stars are aligned for your listeners and entrepreneurs in this country right now.
Thank you, Philip and Brian, for joining us. I'm going to link to your book and your podcasts in this episode's description. For the listeners who are speeding down the highway at 90 miles an hour right now and they can't click those links on their phone, how should people connect with you two?
I think our website's probably the easiest, theuncommonwealth.com. That's a great way. Maybe the podcast, The Uncommon Life Project, you can tune into that. I think that'll be encouraging for you, but it's just really nice to be able to encourage other people to go and pursue their passion. It's life-giving for me every day. I get to talk to individuals and just show them that, no, you're so valuable. And like what you have and what you want to help other people is super powerful and needed. And so I would say those probably are the easiest ways to hear more about us.
Awesome. Thanks again, guys. Thanks for the encouragement and the motivation for the listeners. For the listeners out there, I believe in you guys. Philip believes in you. Brian believes in you. So dig into this a little bit. Think about it. And if nothing else, whether you're about to take your next job, that's perfectly fine. But getting these ideas in your head now, maybe for a year down the road, 5 years, 10 years down the road, start thinking about this, what you're good at and what your options are. And that frees you up from the fear of losing a job or the fear of not getting promoted. With these ideas, you promote yourself. So thanks again, guys. I'd love to have you on the podcast again soon.
Anytime. Thanks. Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks, Matt.